That's another 10 or 15 miles over at Citron.
Yes, it will.
Well, it's a good way.
It'll be harder. On and then Sue and the baby were down there by themselves. And they never did want to be there.
That's a good ways over there.
Well, that's the pond. Had been mighty good to him. Once, he took a load of wash or something to Buddy. And Buddy wouldn't accept that packet. Said, I'm going to unpack these squash and grade them, pack them like I want them. So Freddy said, no, you won't. Take them to ponds. But Buddy's willing to take his squash pack like they are now. It keeps a little money in the family, but Jane and Sue give them a little money. When they took them to Buddy, cost so much, you know, put them up.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. That means Freddie would just have to pay that money out.
Yes. They're not bringing much. Not bringing much. But he's got them, he said. Take them. Buddy ought to do about everything he could for Freddy. But you know, a son is not responsible for his father's death. He couldn't make him pay. But Buddy's father died owing my husband about $1,500. Both my father and my mother were good, most charitable to Mr. Huff and Buddy's mother Judith. And then after my father and mother died, my husband was good too.
Why, Miss Anna, $1,500 was a lot of money then.
Yes, it was.
What was that for? Produce?
Yes. It was food from the stable.
My.
He was Mr. Huff. He was a good farmer, but the market wouldn't be good. He moved to McIntosh and grew the stuff down there. He said he was right on his tombstone. He allowed her. He grew the stuff, and that's enough. Mr. Huff was a real nice man. He was an intelligent man and a good farmer.
He didn't run the packing house or anything.
Who?
Mr. Huff. In his time, he just grew
the
stuff.
No, sir. No, he was just a tour of Mr. Christian and Barfineer. Just an informant of them that learned him the way.
Oh. I don't believe I've heard of Barclay Neal.
Do you know Miss Hattie Neal that lives at McIntosh?
Miss Anna, I'm sorry to say I don't.
She's a member of the Christian Church.
Yes.
Well, her father.
That was her father?
Was a man named John Neal. They came here from Kentucky. And you know where Dr. Strange's office is, don't you? His home?
Sure.
Right in front of it is the old gift. Right one side of it is the old gift home.
Yes.
Right on the other side It was a two-story white house. That's where I had to live.
Yeah.
Bob was a young man. He died with cancer of the throat.
That was her uncle?
Her brother.
Her brother?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Oh. Well, that was her brother.
Bob and Nevis had his brother.
Uh-huh.
There were just two children. Mr. Neal died and Mrs. Neal died too. And the property was left there for two children. The brother married an awfully sweet girl, I think, from Monticello. But after he died, now he had a half interest in that house. Well, had he made it unpleasant for her. He took what money was left to her. The money left to them. He took what money was left to her and paid Barker's debts. And then she went back to Monticello. Leaving Hattie to home.
Uh-huh.
Oh, lots of changes have taken there at McIntosh, too.
Uh-huh.
Of course, did we have our same forum, same ministers?
All but Roland.
All but who?
Roland.
You know, I listened yesterday to one of the lovely sermons preached by a Lutheran minister. He was a friend of Dr. Harbinger's, and he had asked him to come and preach for him. What a beautiful sermon. Oh, his voice was so lovely and so distinct.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Harbin didn't...
He didn't preach yesterday.
He didn't preach yesterday.
He said this Lutheran minister had been a friend of his so long, and he'd asked him to fill the fifth Sunday. I think he's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church, I believe, in, I think it's at Orlando. There.
I imagine, I can see, Miss Anna, how they'd like to somebody to spell them and let them listen a little too.
Yes.
See, they never get to listen at 11 o'clock.
Dr. Harbin said this is a dear friend of his too. I like the music.
I don't.
You don't?
No. I'm just talking to you, Miss Anna. There's some mighty fine Lutherans.
Yes, they are. Mrs. D.D. Walker, Miss Lucy Walker, was back in Tarsus with a Lutheran. She's a Presbyterian. Her daughter was a Presbyterian. And she married a young Methodist minister in Atlanta, in the largest Lutheran church in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, oh, I don't know much about the church.
Oh, I don't know.
My father was a great admirer of Martin Luther. And read different books on him. Read a beautiful little story once to us called the Schomburg Cole family. And that was the family to which Luther belonged.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad of Luther. I'm glad of the Reformation.
Yes. Excuse me, Mr. Santa. I'm look out front. I want to. A little out of this makes a little.
She said the doctor told him tobacco wasn't good for anybody. Dr. Kokomo, that's who took him to.
They said he'd come to and then he'd sort of pass out again?
Yeah. He wanted to go to sleep. He was sick. I mean, he was sick.
Through.
And I missed him all these years. He took the Methodist Advocate, and I took the Christian Observer. So he said one day, I'm not going to take the Methodist Advocate anymore. I'm just going to take the Christian Observer. I said, why? He said, because in the Christian Observer, all these years that we had it, the church has never, one minister has never said one thing against any other denomination. But he said the Methodists criticized him.
Yeah.
Well, none of us can criticize each other. None of us can throw a stone.
That's the truth.
We're all sinners.
Yeah. No, there's too many important things to do besides criticize
life is
people.
Too short.
Much, yes.
Life is too short.
Too short to
I've
criticize.
Heard some people say, oh, yes, I forgive them, but I can't forget. Well, that's not forgiving.
Yes.
Our dear minister at the church restored him to membership, but wouldn't take him back as a minister. He's gone to the Baptist church, and I said I didn't blame him. Dear Mr. Taylor, said he longed sort of be in the Lord's work, and for three years, this Presbyterian church has watched him. And he sure has been repentant. But they would not restore him to the ministry. He was a Baptist before he joined the Presbyterian Church.
Where is he now?
He's preaching in a Baptist church, they tell me in Gainesville.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what church it is. But they've got a mighty fine preacher and a wonderful worker in Miss Taylor. Oh, you know how the early church was purged by Ananias and Sapphira.
Yes.
Sapphira.
Yes, they set a right harsh example.
But when a man is repentant and longs to get back into the Lord's work, the other ministers that are not so good in the church.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they restore him? I said, I didn't bring him. I didn't bring him. His wife works in the infirmary in the university, you know, Miss Taylor.
I believe I heard that.
She's a fine nurse, registered nurse.
Yes.
Oh, they were lovely people. Mr. Taylor was so awfully comforting. And he was a wonderful worker with the young people.
That was a pretty big blow.
Oh, it took three churches all to pieces. McIntosh, Reddick, and Fairfield. Greatest trouble was at Fairfield, you know, the woman was there. And I don't think he comes to church and regularly. But they don't let a hold of office in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lovely musician. But, as I say, not one of us can show someone as another person.
That really makes it hard on everybody, Miss Anna, when something like that happens in a small place, too. I think it's worse in a small place than it is in the big ones.
But Fairfield is most promising. They've got a minister from the north to brand new one, Dr. and Mrs. Gerhardt, who both play the PM and sing so beautifully, and the church is very flourishing there. It's a flourishing, growing church. That's there for you.
Well, I'd like to visit it sometime.
I never have heard him. But Dane's sister Ruth, you know who Ruth is.
Yes, indeed.
She has kept that church going. But the whole Young family, I don't know of any of them who were anything but Methodist, but Presbyterians. They were the founders of that church, and they have kept it going. No, I said, I made all the adversity. There have been some staunch souls that have kept these churches together. McIntosh and Reddick and Fairfield.
Miss Anna, I know, if anyone just watched, he'd see just how much work goes into keeping those little churches going, wouldn't he?
Those what?
There's so much work it takes to keep them going.
Yes.
And a few people have just really have to put their minds to it, don't they?
Yes, sir. There's some awful fine people in that ready church. And there have been some awfully fine ones in the Presbyterian church. McIntosh, where we've got some all our, you know, Young John Morgan.
I don't know him, Miss Anna. I just know who he is.
He's just a fine young man. It's true to his convictions. We have so few members in our church, so few men. And there, Dr. Peterson, who was a missionary, you know, in India. He's an elder, Frank McRae and Cecil. Billy Brown ought to be working in the church, but he isn't.
He doesn't work much in the church.
And his father believed there was only one church. Mr. Brown was the greatest Presbyterian. He was raised in North Carolina and made those Scotch Presbyterians up there.
Yeah.
Years ago, his nephew came from North Carolina to visit him, and he got here at night. And early the next morning, he got up and walked around McIntosh, and there were four churches there. And he went back home to his aunt, and he said, "This is such a little place. Why does it need four Presbyterian churches?" He said, "Well, those are not Presbyterian." He said, "I didn't think there was any of them." You know, a little girl that went to Sunday school came home sort of stressed. Said, "Mama, the teacher said Jesus was a Jew." Or she said he was a Jew. Or she said, "Mama, I know God's a Presbyterian." I wasn't raised that way. My father attended the revivals in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church. Wherever there was a, a revival in those churches in Anderson. Y'all read went.
Yeah.
And y'all read went to the Methodist Church here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the only church that was a whole Centerpoint congregation. Sold a church to the Negroes and removed our membership to the Methodist Church in McIntosh until our church could be built. Our new church.
Well, it doesn't matter much where the church is now. It doesn't take long to get there.
No. I used to go with my husband. He went with me to the Presbyterian church, and I went with him to the Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
It was so arranged that we could go that way.
Yeah.
We could kneel at the same communion table. We've had some awfully fine ministers in that old church. We had one man there. His name was Dewes. D-E-W-S, Dewes. A young man, all so filled with the Spirit. Our people think he was the only or the finest minister that we ever had, but maybe he is. Someone told me now that he's in a large church somewhere in Virginia where it takes two sessions to see the people.
Mm-hmm.
His little son is studying for the ministry. Oh, he did a great deal. He was pastor of the three churches of Fairfield, Redding, and McIntosh. It was too hard work. I tell you, it's hard work for a man to keep over three churches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Morris has five churches, don't have four churches. He's got Shiloh. Don't he preach at Robert Hooley?
I'm not sure, Miss Anna. Once a month or something.
Once a month. Well, I'm proud of our little Methodist church here. It was finished and dedicated without any debt.
Yes.
In 1910. And that bishop that dedicated it was a lovely fella. I think his name was Morrison, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, I'm getting so old, I forget names. I forget dates awfully.
You need Mr. Collins to help you remember those.
Oh, I do. I do. Yes, I miss Mr. Collins and Ms. Collins too. And that old Crail, they were wonderful neighbors.
Where did you see them mostly? Church?
Oh, I saw them all the time. We visited then a whole lot. Mr. Collins would often come by here. Bring a head of lettuce or something. Claire would come up with a bucket of greens. They were lovely neighbors, wonderful neighbors. Mr. Collins was a mighty sweet old man. They lost their only little son. And it was pitiful. Miss Collins almost lost her mind.
But they had the three girls.
The three girls. They had four girls. One little girl died, too.
Oh.
Little Dora, the youngest. Yes, Mr. Collins was an awfully faithful member of that Methodist church. Mr. Collins was an Episcopalian. She never put her letter in the church, but she affiliated with it. She was interested in all of it. Was an awfully fine worker in the church with Miss Richardson. And you know these Smith brothers, J.B. and Toby, Evan, and Otto, Iris, had a stepmother who was a wonderful worker too, Miss Lydian. Wonderful little church. The Christians asked if they could preach one Sunday in it. So they asked the bishop and they the God knelt and all came on down if he might, and they said just as long as he doesn't say anything against another church, he's welcome preaching it. So we were Mr. Mulady was his name, Irish, and he preached every Sunday afternoon. And I had a friend named Mr. Miller that lived up here in the house where Rob lives. I wished I had had sense enough to write about him. The most unforgettable character that I ever knew. And he was a lawyer Methodist, oh, a good Methodist, and a worker in the church. Mr. Milady preached, and we would hear him every whatever Sunday it was, afternoon. And one Sunday, he just tore up the whole church. Did all he could against Presbyterians, against the Methodists.
Goodness.
So, Mr. Miller almost had a fit. He came out of the church just raging. And honestly, when I got home, I had to take some Bromide.
Oh,
he had. So they told him then, you can't preach anymore. You can't preach in this church anymore.
Well, what in the world came over him, Miss Anna?
Well, they preach against every other denomination. They used to. I told you we had a little mission in the old schoolhouse before the church was built. And the minister from Micanopy came out one Sunday afternoon and preached to us in the little old schoolhouse that was torn down and stood right where the Lord's house is.
Yeah.
And he tore it down and David Johnson's house was made out of it. And we had a dear old minister there in Micanopy named Wells, Burl Wells, who came out and talked to us. And Mr. Hester, who was a member of the Christian Church, asked if this man could have a series of meetings there. They told him he could. And so every night, old Brother Wells would come out from Micanopy to listen to him. One night he asked Brother Wells to pray. And when he got up, he took that prayer all to pieces. Now he preached against the Methodists. Said there were 13 members, 13 of the denominations of the Methodist Church. And what an unlucky that number that was. I said he asked Brother Wells to pray. When he got off, he just told the prayer all to pieces. My mother was there. And when it was over, she went up to him. She said, I'm not a Methodist. But I love the Methodist Church and the people. And I want you not to say anything against it anymore. This Mr. Huff, Buddy's father, said my mom handled him as governor. He didn't hesitate. He went to see everybody in this community trying to get them to change, and he did. He got some people to change too. Old Mr. Shuttleworth, who named his oldest son John Wesley, left the Methodist Church and all his family and joined the Christian Church.
Oh.
What a big loss to the Methodist Church here. But our dear old Brother Wesley was a saintly old man. Lover. I never have seen any arrogant Methodist ministers. I never have met one in known perfect that thought that there was no other church but the Methodist.
No.
No, I never have met one, and I've known some awfully fine ones. We had a minister here once, though. Poor mister. Your name was Bilbo. A young man played baseball on Sunday afternoon, smoked cigarettes. Oh, and he was a right good little preacher. But they turned him out of the church. I felt so sorry for the poor fellow. They had a quarterly conference down there once, presiding elder, and they told him they had to dismiss him from the church for his behavior was not becoming a minister.
Now that was a Methodist.
Yes, sir, that was a Methodist. His name was Bilbo. I think he was from Alabama. And he went back.
Miss Anna, I think, I'm not sure about this, but I think I remember various people when I was growing up who just couldn't tolerate other denominations. And they wouldn't go to the other churches. And now you take now, you see, you get good preachers on the television and the radio, and it'd be right shameful, you know, if you had a good Methodist, a good Presbyterian, they'd turn off one and just listen to the other. But I've seen them do that, or do the same thing. I don't believe you have quite as much of that now.
No, when a member of the Christian Church who joined our Presbyterian Church, she said the Christian Church is much more tolerant now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like that now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't commune with the Christians. You can't with the Baptists.
Mm-hmm. And that differs amongst the Baptist churches. Some you can.
Yes, some you can. And your mom always said,
Miss Anna?
A Baptist organization govern itself. You could commune with some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Our dear friend, Dr. Montgomery in Lake City, was a student in Edinburgh, England. And he said he went to hear Dr. Spurgeon, the greatest Baptist minister of his time.
Yes.
Oh, he said there was open communion there. Open communion. And I think he's Dr. Fairport. Is he still vice president?
He's gone.
gone.
Yes.
But he preached in the Macintosh. He permitted open communion.
Yeah. I don't know whether I ever told you this or not, but it was one of the big surprises. Up in the Bluegrass in Kentucky, the leading church is the Baptist Church, and that's where the ladies go with their white gloves on.
Yes.
All those fine families, fashionable people, racy, horse people. The Baptist Church, Miss Anna. Now, don't tell me, you see, that the churches don't differ amongst them within the same church. Now, there wouldn't be anything much in common in one of those Baptist churches and some of the others, you know.
But you know, Dr. Lipscomb, every once in a while, a little Baptist came out. But he talked and worked with those other ministers. He hadn't been on the program lately, though, had he?
No. I know one or two people, Miss Anna, who won't listen to anything else except their own denomination. That's all they listen to.
Well, I'm very sorry for the narrow minds.
I know one or two that I run across. There may be a lot, see, that I don't know about.
Well, our Presbyterian Church and the Christian Church there at Macintosh have been real good friends. They're affiliated with each other. Often when we didn't have an organist, we borrowed one from the Christian Church.
Yes.
There are some lovely people in that church. The Mrs. Deadman was connected with the Christian family. That is a very lovely woman. She's a member of it. You know who Ross Rath is, don't you?
Postmaster?
The postmaster, yes. Now, he is about the biggest member in the Christian church down there.
Oh, I didn't know
he
that.
He and his wife.
Yes. And she works.
They're fine people. They're awfully fine people. This girl is a member, is a daughter of Ms. Deadman.
Oh. Oh. Well, now, where did he come from, Tanner? Was he brought up here?
No, sir.
No.
He came from the West.
Yeah.
I don't know what. This child went West.
Oh, I see.
To finish her education.
I see.
She was married out there, but she divorced her husband.
Uh-huh.
And then she married this man.
And out there?
Ross Rath, yes. Uh-huh. And came back here.
And they've been back for a good many years?
Yes, sir. I couldn't tell you how many.
Yeah.
But I know that May, her name is May, May Christian Deadman, Ross's wife, was very, very ill in the hospital. And they didn't know whether she'd live or not. So when our Presbyterian circle was reading down there one afternoon, Mrs. Deadman asked the prayers of the Lord Jesus for her daughter.
Uh-huh.
And her daughter did get well.
Who was the postmaster before Ross?
Hugh Pettis. His name was Hugh Pettis. He was a Republican.
Uh-huh. And he was postmaster for a long time.
Yes, he was. You know, his son-in-law is a No. Well, I can't afford his name. Walters.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Walters. Who works in the post office down there.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Walters, was Hugh's daughter. And Walters is her husband. He went away once and left Walters in the charge of his office. And they took the money home with them at night. So one night, Walters heard a little noise, and he just picked up his gun and shot. Killed his little son.
Oh.
What a terrible, terrible thing.
Oh, my goodness.
How he lived through it was on account of his wife, me. And me's stepmother, Mrs. Pettis. Oh, how I missed her. She was one of the loveliest, loveliest Christians. He died a few years ago.
And you knew her for a long time?
Yes, sir. Me said I can't ever go back to the Presbyterian Church because I see her sitting there at the piano.
Yes.
And I just can't stand it. A lovely musician. He played the violin. They are pennies.
Hmm.
I lost a perfectly wonderful friend in Miss Pettis. Father was 80 when he died, and her mother lived 6 months longer.
Lieutenant, I forget the name of the people who lived in that little house there next to Miss Edna.
The Glissons?
No, back in her time.
Bradley?
Bradley, yeah, Bradley. Now, they lived here a good long while, didn't they?
Well, yes, a good while. Old Mr. and Ms. Bradley came, and their son Herbert and his wife.
Uh-huh.
Now, that house was built by John Shuttleworth.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the Bradley's brought it from John.
Well, which Bradley is it that I know about? The boy?
The Herbert.
Herbert, yes.
Herbert Bradley and his wife,
uh-huh.
Antoinette.
Now, they were right hard-working
people. Oh, they worked themselves to death. And they wouldn't take a newspaper. They didn't give themselves any benefits. We just worked awfully hard, just killed themselves working.
They worked hard and had very little.
I don't know how much money they had when they died. I don't know. They didn't have a great deal of land there.
Well, whatever money they had, they worked for it. You can say that, can't you?
They certainly did do work for it. Yeah, we see we lived in a two-room house out there near Brothers County up this way. I guess we called built this house. We didn't know we were going to stay in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Kind of down here as an experiment. But he liked it so well, and my mother said she wasn't going to live in Carolina and let him live down here.
Yeah.
So she came. Left so much of there, we came out of a new house. And left friends, we never had any money, but we soon did have lovely friends.
Uh-huh.
Our family will fall in love with all sort of these accomplished people. My mother went, was educated in Columbia, South Carolina, in a school run by a woman named Madame Sosnowski. And she could pray, my mother could pray just beautiful.
Yeah.
And my sister, one of the most beautiful young girls I ever knew, was so accomplished. I never did have anything.
Your sister could play?
Just you. And she could paint.
And paint?
Oh, paint.
Well, you just a good duckling. You the black sheep.
I am a black sheep. Because my brother Brayton is said to be one of the brightest children raised in Anderson. He was very, very smart. On his deathbed, he was very, very smart. On his deathbed, he could recite page and page from Milton's Paradise Lost. And he was very fond of Tom Moore's Peter in Paradise. He could say that to me.
What is that?
Tom Moore's Peter in Paradise.
I don't know that. I'll look that up.
He corrected one of his teachers once. Teacher made us. Said someday. And so he held up his hand and he said, oh, could I ask you if that was right? And he said, I think it was this. So the teacher said, I believe you are right. Now, thank you. But then the man that married Edna Richardson's sister, Mr. Blake, he made a statement once to our next teacher. And Drayton asked him if he could tell him to do it. He said, Drayton, and I need your correction, I said. He didn't want to be corrected.
Yeah, you know he did.
But Brayton was right. He was wonderful in his days. Just had two vital lines for a weak body.
Now, Mr. Bradley, Mr. Hubert, did you say?
Herbert,
yes. Now, he didn't have any. The way he worked, he didn't have much time to learn much, did he? Read much.
I don't know whether they ever had a television on.
You mean radio?
I know he loved Pindles terribly. And he got so he couldn't chew them. So she would grind him up for him.
Oh.
His wife was a very capable woman. They were not highly educated people.
Uh-huh.
They were good people. I loved his old father and mother. They were dear, precious old people.
Was his parents old when they came down here?
No, sir. No, Mr. Bradley was a carpenter. Old Mr. Bradley.
Uh-huh.
And he was building a house up here somewhere. Where the Richmond's on now, we up here on the Jumtota Junction. And the young boy that was working with him pulled the ladder out from under the house, not thinking about Mr. Bradley being up there. And when Mr. Bradley started down, he didn't see that the ladder was gone. He fell. And ribs punctured his lungs. He lived about 2 weeks.
Oh.
And died. Now his wife, old Mrs. Bagley, was a half sister of Mr. Effie Heston to live here.
Oh.
And Mr. Heston was what we call a Carmelite, a Christian. And he believed that you could not be saved unless you were baptized. Nothing could help you. And she was a very sweetest old Christian lady in the Methodist Church. But he talked to that poor woman so much that she was baptized.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, what do you know? Now, which Mr. Heston was that?
That was Mr. Effie Heston. You know him in my dad's house.
Yes.
That was his home.
Now,
Effie Heston, that was here for years and years, our depot agent. Telegraph, everything.
Uh-huh. He was here a long time.
Yes, we came here down in 1884. We believed that you could not be saved unless you were baptized. Nothing could help you. And she was the very sweetest old Christian lady in the Methodist Church. But he talked to that poor woman so much that she was baptized.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, what do you know? Now, which Mr. Heston was that?
That was Mr. Effie Heston. You know him in my dad's house.
Yes.
That was his home.
Now,
Effie Heston. That was here for years and years, our depot agent.
Yeah.
Telegraph, everything.
He was here a long time.
Yes, we came here down in 1884. And Mr. Matista had just been married.
Oh, really? And they were living here when you came?
Oh, yes.
And he was in charge of the railroad then?
I think.
Well.
No, he wasn't. I was saying no. He wasn't a Mr. A young Mr. Woods,
I
think from Wisconsin,
uh-huh.
was it? Mr. Heston, no, not then.
Uh-huh.
But when he did get in, he stayed in.
Yes.
Until he had to.
Yeah.
Was super angry.
Uh-huh.
And then his son Frank ran the office.
After him. Did he run it clear on up until they moved it?
Did they? No. Mr. Shaw was our legal agent and operator.
Yeah.
It was awful. My father deed that land to the railroad. It was up there in the courthouse. That as long as there was a place here, that we should have a depot.
Uh-huh.
But they cut it out. They took it away from me.
Yeah. And now we have to go to McIntosh.
Yes. I go to McIntosh to get on the train. We used to have a little train that ran just to Citrus. Ran by here early in the morning, but we could make connection with the train up here at Rochelle that would take us into Gainesville.
Oh, yeah.
Or take us to Pulaski.
Uh-huh.
A little sizzle, but they took it off, discontinued it a long time ago.
Miss Hunter, it's always been hard on a man just to make all of his living from farming. seems like he does better if he's got a little job on the side or money on the side, especially in hard times. Something to sort of see him through. It doesn't take much, just a little bit.
You've got to make money, you've got to have a little money to start with.
Yeah.
Now, my boy, Betty, when he was about 13 years old, we had a terrible fear storm. And a lot of watermelons had been pitted. They grew and developed, but they couldn't ship them. So they sold them to trucks. And Mr. Wynn, you know who he is, Bill Wynn.
Uh-huh.
His father-in-law, Bill Christian, was running the Thurwood Macintosh and had interest in all. He had croppers with these melons that had been hurt. So he got my Fred to go out there and manage it, sell to the trucks. And Freddie, it was vacation time. Freddie, a little boy, went with him, about 13 years old. Well, he was just so interested in it. So interested in watermelons. That's why he got so interested in the watermelons. One day, his father was way out. Somehow and left him in a certain place. And when he got back, he found it. Said he had some old truck.
Yeah. 13 years old.
Yes. And when he was 21, he went into the service, went to Fort Jackson in Columbia, served him 6 months there. And then he had to go to a meeting every Monday night in Ocala.
Yeah.
I don't think it was every Monday night either, maybe just twice a month. I know he had to go. And he didn't give it up until after he was married.
Miss Anna, down at McIntosh, Mr. Bill Christian was one of the leading citizens, wasn't he?
Certainly was. His father came here from Kentucky, Mr. Kirk Christian, as a young man, and built a store, not like it is now.
Yeah.
But he ran a store there, and he was very successful. And he retired. He turned it over to Bill Christian.
Now they have done, they have bought produce too, Mr. Bill Christian, all of his time, I guess, now then.
Well, Mr. Kirk Christian did.
Uh-huh.
His father did.
Yeah.
Father was a big commission merchant. That's where Buddy Huff learned his words.
Buddy Huff learned it from the old man Christian.
Yes.
Mr. Bill Christian's father.
I don't know what he did from Bill Christian's father. He learned it from Bill Christian.
Yeah.
But Bill Christian's father started it.
Yeah. And he worked for Mr. Bill Christian when he started.
Yes. Mr. Christian had another partner named Arthur Neal, a young fellow. He died of cancer of the throat. That's where Buddy learned all his cunning tricks.
He knows how to make something out of a deal, I guess.
Yes. Buddy Huff's father, he was a nice fella. He was a farmer. Came down here from Georgia. pack the oranges, pick the oranges and pack them. And he married, she was Julia Reeves, and lived up here in the house that Rob tore down.
Yeah.
That's where she was partly raised. She went to school to me. Julia was always a good girl. She'd have a lot of trouble.
Miss Anna, what is Rob's wife's name now?
Allie Lee.
Allie Lee. I never can get that straight. Allie Lee.
His first wife. Her name is Kathleen. Just two sisters. Their mother died, and Kathleen went to live with her mother's kin, and Allie went to live with her father. Well, Allie got, they were better fixed, Allie's people, than Katharina's. They, Allie don't, if she can't have something that's good, she won't have anything at all.
Oh, really?
I don't mean that she's contrary and ugly.
Yeah.
But she has such good taste and everything. She was here a little while this afternoon.
What is her, what was her family name?
Oh, Lloyd.
Allie Lee Lloyd.
Allie Lee Lloyd. They were from Georgia. A little town. There they lived. But, Mr. Lloyd's sister Kate married a Mr. Freeman. And she owned a rooming house in Jacksonville. And we had some friends, Mrs. Annie Smith, who wanted to go to Jackson. So Annie dropped her place down here at Goldman, went to Jackson, and Freeman came there. And Mr. Freeman owned all there, out around that lake, you know, where the university had it. All that was Mr. Freeman.
Lake Alice.
And he was saying he borrowed money from the farm owner. And at his death, he died a young man. He wasn't faithful, and his poor wife tried to hold it so hard, but she couldn't. She couldn't. I think that place was born in Swiss by Shaw and Peter. And the bold people.
Miss Anna, Mr. Wood had, he had gone into credit, into debt a good bit, hadn't he?
Oh, yes. Yes, he had. He paid off his debt. That's so much percent. His creditors were willing.
That's what makes it hard, Miss Anna, when anything is, it's all right to see as long as you're
healthy. Now, my mother.